How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Anthony. I am joined by Harrison. I just pulled a Fred Katz, also of the Locked On Network. He is with the Thunder podcast. But
yeah, no. Listen to Locked On Thunder. That's an organic plug right there.
Yeah, it's like it was meant to be. No, but really, I'm joined by Harrison Fagan, as always. He has a working microphone so far. Keep your fingers crossed that holds up. As always, again, you can find our show on Audio Boom, on iTunes. If you subscribe, that's the easiest way to find it on iTunes. On Stitcher, on SoundCloud. Oh, nope, you can't find it on SoundCloud yet. That's going to turn into our, like, Matt Damon of Jimmy Kimmel. Like, that's how, oh, sorry, guys, we don't quite have time for Matt Damon tonight. And then the latest app that I heard about today is an app called TuneIn. So if anybody actually uses, you know, if anybody uses that app, let us know, and I'll make that another Matt Damon of the podcast. Harrison, how are you holding up?
Well, if TuneIn will have us now that you just threw them under the bus, like, I've never heard of this stupid thing, but, you know, if any of you idiots listen to it, like, just tweet me so that I know if it's worth setting up. And TuneIn, that was Anthony talking.
Yeah, man. All right, it's late. I'm tired. All right, here we go. So today's show is going to be about Paul George, who joined the ever-growing list of people who are really impressed by the Lakers' young core, specifically those who happen to be in Las Vegas playing in you know, alongside those guys who are getting ready to head over to Rio to win or to hopefully bring back Olympic gold. Harrison,
what do you mean hopefully? Is that not a certainty? Is there a threat?
I mean, look, I was convinced that the 2012,
I guess, like, their plane could get lost, right?
Well, I lived through the 2012 Lakers season where I was convinced that was going to be the greatest team of all time. So I'm not trying to jinx anybody anymore.
If that team does not win we'll have to think of something I'll do if that team does not win the gold medal.
I mean, you're putting yourself in a lose-lose situation right now. Doesn't end well. This doesn't end well for you. All right, so you. Never mind. I'm not going to go where I was.
I threw you off track, but Paul George was very impressed with the young Los Angeles Lakers. He was talking with Michael Pina of Bleacher Report. Excellent Twitter follow for those of you that don't already do so, which I don't know why you wouldn't be. But he tweeted out a quote from Paul George. I guess they were having a conversation, and he asked him which of the players out in Las Vegas impressed him. And Paul George said, I think LA's two young bucks, Julius Indiangelo and Devin Booker, I think those three guys, we got after them. They made turnovers. They look bad at times. But what I like most about them is they weren't scared. So he was impressed with that. And the disclaimer I wanted to throw out there, and that I noted in my article, the write-up of the comments that, like, should be noted, but is also possibly not that big of a deal, is that Russell, Randall, and Paul George all have the same agent. So, you know, minor disclaimer there, but I talked to Pina, and it sounded like he thought the comment was just legit. It was just George being honest.
All right, so a couple points here. One, regarding the agency, is we have to find out, like, if you really want to run with the disclaimer, if you really want to run with the caveat, you have to then look up who all else has that same agent, right? Like, if Russell and Randall are the only two guys who have the same agents as Paul George, then sure, that's a little interesting. But as tends to happen in the NBA, these guys all share the same power agents. The agents run the NBA. And as you mentioned, I don't think you mentioned it, but Booker is not among those guys. So I don't know if, like, Phoenix fans read that and say, oh, great, yeah, he really feels that way about Booker compared to the other guys. But as you mentioned, Michael seemed to really think it was a legitimate question that was pretty off the cuff. That's what I found the most interesting, as you told me about your back and forth with Michael after the fact.
Yeah, so here are some players that he might have shouted out as well if he were just going off of agent connections. He also might have shouted out Mike Scott, CJ Wilcox, almost got a free advertisement, Alan Crabb, Paul George. So Paul George.
That agent did his job. Alan Crabb's agent did his job.
Yeah, he earned himself his paycheck this summer. Gary Harris, Reggie Jackson, Myers Leonard, Elfrid Payton, and Terrence Ross.
Elfrid Payton is also at the team at the select thing, right? I believe
he was, yeah.
So what we're saying right now if this turns out to be true, which I'm positive he is, I saw his hair there. But
be there if his hair was also there.
Right. Well, he has a really distinctive hairdo.
I mean, his hair, maybe his hair was a free agent and just decided to go.
But so what we're saying right now is, because Peyton didn't get a shout out from Paul George,
we're probably going way too FBI X-Files on this anyway.
Yes. I mean, we're being facetious. The larger overriding story here is that the praise continues to come in for the young Lakers. Right. And I don't know how many guys
not at the Team USA thing. It doesn't look like
he is not. So he's even more of a bust because he's not there.
Oh my God.
But so you have, and we're going to find out he has eligibility in some other country or something, but the main point here is not
agent affiliations. I think this is probably a legit comment.
And like I said, the overriding comment here is that praise just keeps on coming in from all angles regarding these young Lakers, right? Kevin Durant went maybe above and beyond with Brandon Ingram. Greg Popovich is really impressed with Julius Randle. You saw Carmelo Anthony, have his arm physically around D'Angelo Russell to talk him through stuff. You just go down the list. And then today, Paul George talking about Russell and Rando as well. And I just, the future is really bright. And I don't, for those who are listening to the podcast right now, I would imagine you're of the more passionate fans, in Laker Nation, whatever we want to call it. But this speaks well for what the Lakers are trying to do. Now, this said, they need to get this momentum going if they really want to make a legitimate jump as an organization.
Yeah, I think we thought, because flowing out of these comments, these guys, they seem to be really impressing a lot of people on the league, like you around the league. You mentioned Durant, you mentioned Popovich. There have been other people they impressed everyone at Summer League, other than apparently the people who vote for all Summer League first team, because that was
just Mike Wilbon. He put something together, and because he's Mike Wilbon, he gets, this is the first annual voting.
Honestly, we need to do like a C instead of on like which agent is representing which player. We need to do like a CSI on like who had a vote on all NBA first team for Summer League. Like was it Nick Young?
Young.
Is Nick Young like the all Summer League team judge?
Poor Nick Young. I was thinking about this today. We aren't very nice to Nick Young on this show. Or I guess I'm not, and then you just dropped that last one. But poor Nick Young probably doesn't listen to this show. And if he does, or if he has people listening, I can't imagine he's fans of us. But
I mean, probably not.
But this topic was your idea, so I'm going to let you frame it and however you want to frame it. I think it's a really cool topic. I think it's something that, while it seems self-explanatory, I don't think people quite grasp how important it might actually be.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason that it's important is because, the Lakers have had a lot of free agency issues over the last couple of years. Their free agency pitch has basically been, our jerseys are pretty cool. The weather's nice. Mm-hmm. Lots of money. You can pick your teammates. You know, social media, retweet this. Adam Levine is here. He put on your jersey for you. Is that like a thing you're into? I don't like that.
I can't believe that didn't work.
It's basically just been like smoke and mirrors for the last couple of years. Smoke, mirrors, and bags of cash. And so this year, you know, they decided that it seems like they've realized that they need to get a little bit better to start to attract those free agents. So the first step that they made this offseason towards that is they signed some legitimate veterans. And then I think the other step and the big step is going to be the young guys hitting their ceilings or coming close to it.
Right. And that's the big one here is that. So LeBron, I believe, and I might have this report wrong, I might be misremembering, but I do believe LeBron mentioned that he first started thinking about returning to Cleveland when he saw that Cleveland got that, you know, won the lottery kind of miraculously, right? Because he thought to himself, hey, they might have pieces, you know, to put together where we can really vie for a championship now. And while I don't think the Lakers are in that same spot where they're, you know, a LeBron away and then a couple trades away from winning a title.
Always a LeBron away. I mean, once you have LeBron, you're pretty close.
Yeah, that certainly helps. But I do think like the Cavs still needed to make a Kevin Love trade to, you know, reach the spot where LeBron was comfortable coming over and really competing for a championship.
Right, yeah, like, that's true. They had to trade for Kevin Love. They had to bring some veterans in there. They had to draft Matthew Dellavedova. You know.
So yeah, I would say with, you know, with regards to what the Lakers are trying to do, they need some pretty significant steps forward from at least the guys. So, you know, it's one thing to hope that Brandon Ingram steps into the NBA and then is immediately an impact player, right? And that's completely ridiculous to hope for. But what I don't think is ridiculous to hope for is somebody like Jordan Clarkson taking a major step forward. Julius Randle, you know, him of his vaunted third year, as you like to point out, taking a major step forward. D'Angelo Russell making a major step forward on both ends of the court so that, you know, guys around the league start to see them, not just, you know, in games that they play against them, you know, where after the game, they, you know, you always get the token. Yeah. These kids look like they can really play. If they ever put this together, the league's going to have problems. What the Lakers really need is for a national narrative to be, holy crap, look what the Lakers have actually pieced together. These kids really look like they could be a playoff team by themselves down the road, and especially by adding a superstar free agent.
Yeah, you want to get something. You want to get some type of D'Lo sanity going, or like you want these guys to be ending up on highlight reels, because mm-hmm. like if we're being real, that's what the majority of the players. That's kind of where they develop most of their basketball opinions from. I think a lot of the time on that they don't play against frequently.
Well, I mean, look. And this is my beef with a show like Inside the NBA, or what is it? And what's the TNT show?
Inside the NBA. You had it the first time.
There we go. Yeah. So on Inside the NBA, sometimes I get frustrated because these guys are actually molding opinions on NBA players when they just spout narratives. And if I'm, you know, if I'm a Russell Westbrook, or if I'm
Jeff Green, could still become a perennial All-Star, Anthony. Exactly. Don't you discount Charles Barkley's analysis?
So, but yeah, if I'm a Paul George, if I'm a, you know, who is a free agent when 2018, he has a player option.
Yes, 2018.
So if I'm a Paul George then, or if I'm a Russell Westbrook next offseason, if I'm name elite free agent X, right? I happen to tune into, you know, Inside the NBA, and they talk about how the Lakers, who appear on national TV more often than a 17-win team should, then you kind of say, all right, well, looks like these guys, you know, if I sign up here, maybe within a year or two, if they continue their progress, we might really have something going, and it's crucial.
And that's been to their detriment the last couple of years, because they're a 17-win, you know, whatever win team the last couple of years. And they're on Inside the NBA. And the first thing that you get to after the game ends is like, oh, man, we have to watch the highlights tonight. Nobody yeah. wants to see that.
Great point. Like, absolutely. Nailed it on the head.
You know, like that's anecdotal, but that is something that shifts that makes, you know, more casual observers' opinions.
And it's not like, you know,
and like players don't have time to sit there and watch like a ton of footage on every single team. Like they don't have the time for that.
So we've gone over why it's important. So I think, you know, the conversation to take the next step forward is, what specifically do these guys need to do to actually take that next step forward to where the Lakers become a viable option for, you know, any elite level free agent next offseason, you know, let alone moving forward. Where do you want to start? I think we should just start at the top and work our way down. Don't bury the lead. D'Angelo Russell. Fine.
So what do you think Ryan Kelly needs to do then to improve?
Stay in the NBA. That'd be a good one. But yeah, D'Angelo Russell, what would you say above all other things he needs to improve on to become, you know, to help the Lakers take that step forward that they need to take?
So you mean on the court, right? Because I was going to say, like, other than, like, not recording people, which, like, I think he stopped. I think he's learned his lesson, to be mm-hmm. fair.
I think so, too.
Yeah, so on the court, I think he needs to shoot a higher percentage than he did last year. Like, he definitely needs to be more efficient. I think his playmaking has to get a little better, because it's like, it's crazy. We feel like we're taking crazy pills, because people think that he's not a good playmaker because they look at his assist averages or his, you know, assist percentage, and they say he's not a good passer. No, he's a great passer. He just didn't have as many opportunities to do it last year. And he also just didn't do it as consistently as you'd want him to when he did have the opportunities. Like, it was a combination of, you know, he didn't necessarily have the guys or the guys open to pass to, and, you know, just his own kind of lack of floor vision at times and his lack of kind of being in distribution mode.
Do you have any specific numbers that, you know, in mind, or any hope that you have any kind of specific numbers in mind with Russell? I'm putting you on the spot here. I honestly
can't. Yeah, well, so last year he actually assisted on 21.3% of his teammates' baskets while he was on the floor. So that was actually the highest rate on the Lakers. So that's actually pretty good. But if you wouldn't believe that if you just look at his assist average, and it is at 3.3 a game. Like, that's not blowing anyone away.
No.
You know?
If anything, it's doing the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. So, but like, the percentage kind of tells a different story. And, you know, his assist to turnover ratio wasn't that great. It was 1.36. So he definitely needs to, you know, he needs to work on those kind of cross court flings, either not doing them at times or having them connect with teammates instead of leading to an easy basket for the other team. So I think getting the turnovers down is kind of a big thing. And then just basically just shooting more efficiently. I know that sounds like simple, but he just, like, you know, he shot, I believe, where is it? He shot 41% last year, which, like, isn't terrible, but it needs to get that up a little bit. He shot 35.1% from three. You'd like to see that a little higher. So, like, just like little like, the improvements aren't as drastic as a lot of people think.
So I'm going to go in a different direction with what I would hope for with D'Angelo Russell, because
All right.
It's the moments, right? D'Angelo Russell started getting buzz last year. I could make a vibrating phone but I do think he started, you know, there was actual positive emotion towards D'Angelo Russell last year when he started having those, like, you know, ice in my veins moments, or, you know, he had the game against Sacramento in Sacramento. And
y'all ain't seen nothing yet.
Exactly. And the more moments he has like that, the more headlines he, because yes, he could improve statistically and he's going to improve statistically. And like you said,
I can't guarantee Team USA is going to win gold, but you could just throw guarantees around. I see how it is. Like, you get to make the rules about guarantees on the podcast. That's fine.
All right. If he doesn't improve next year, the Lakers are screwed. So here's me hope. This Fair is enough. Me. I'm not guaranteeing so much as I guess hoping. But so with those moments that I'm talking about, you need guys around the league, you know, who tend to be casual fans out of necessity, out of situation, to be able to look on Twitter and say, "Oh man, this guy's trending again."
Look Russell's at this vine again. Of his half court shot from his back going around.
Nice shameless plug. But you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you mean. Like, that's the kind of stuff that gets people talking. Like, that's the kind of thing that gets LeBron to tweet, like, "Oh man, that could be a top five game from a sophomore this year. Wow."
I don't think we'll see anything like that. But yeah, like, I mean, the kind of stuff that, like, if you're Russell Westbrook, you're surrounded by guys who are looking, you know, if Russell Westbrook has a team worth its weight in lead, right, their job this season is to look around the league for situations that Russell Westbrook can take that next step in his career. Now, that next step might be remaining in Oklahoma City, and if he renegotiates, I'll be bummed because I think he's letting a cheap organization off the hook. But if that's what his team figures out is best for him, then all the power to him. But what they're going to be doing throughout this year is kind of scanning the league and saying, all right, well, what's going on in Boston right now? Oh, it looks like Horford's playing pretty well. Jaylen Brown made some noise the other night, whatever. What's going on in Los Angeles right now? Wow, look at D'Angelo Russell. He has yet another night where he's trending for making some ridiculous pass or whatever shot.
60 again. Wow.
Man, it's crazy. He's averaging 50. So that's the kind of, I guess, improvement, for lack of a better term, but it's not really improvement. It's more just presence around the league is how I'd put it.
Yeah, but buzz. I think you had it right the first time. Mm-hmm. And so I think all of the guys to a degree need to do that, but I agree. I think D'Angelo has the best chance to. So I think you're right on point with that.
All right. So we took a little bit longer there. And in order to not make that point, I'm glad you said that everybody on the Lakers needs to do that. Like, Larry Nance Jr. has to create some buzz with the occasional poster, or Julius Randle with the occasional coast to coast, right? And on down the line.
Run the jewels.
All right. So I guess I rambled on forever with D'Angelo Russell. So I'll let you go again with Julius Randle. What specifically does he need to improve to you know, catch talented free agent X's eye?
Well, like, the first thing is, like, he really should have played in summer league, because I just don't see any free agent signing here if he didn't play. I think in terms of realistic improvements, I think two things jump out at me more than anything. And one of them is finishing around the basket. He only shot 50.5% at the rim last year. League average from there was 55.5%. And Randle took 68% of his shots from right at the rim last year. So that's really not great efficiency. You want that to be a little bit higher. And part of that will come with, as you like to talk about, he's got to finish with that right hand, you know, just once in a blue moon, like, just make it somewhat of a threat. And we'll see if that's actually become the case. And then the other end is defensively. Really, there's not a whole lot he doesn't need to improve on defensively. So the good news is like, it's a low bar to clear.
It's like me on Twitter. Yeah. It's like my Twitter account. It's nowhere to go but up.
Very low standard that he needs to exceed to show improvement on that end. But, like, being serious, he does need to, like, exhibit better instincts. He's never going to be a rim protector because of his, as our commenters like to call him, J-Rex, because of his, T-Rex arms. That, I think that's a little overstated. But, you know, he needs to move laterally with guys on switches better. He needs to have better instincts on when to help and when is just a bad game. gamble and you shouldn't do that. Just basic stuff. He just, like, all around on defense, he needs to get better.
Yeah. So my thing with Randall is actually pretty straightforward. It's any kind of willingness to go to your right, any kind whatsoever. And Manu Ginobili has made a career out of taking one or two dribbles and getting back to his right. But the reason, or getting back to his left.
I was going to say, yeah. Have you ever watched Manu Ginobili?
So, but with Randall, I caught some flack on Twitter the other day because you got, there was a clip of him driving to his right. And it appeared to me like he had somebody wide open on the right side of his body, but he winds up getting up in the air and making a cross-court pass, which was, to his credit, a very good pass, right? Going to his left, he's very, very talented at getting the ball to the right spot and making the right decision. But the play could have been very simple if he just gets the one defender to take a step or two in towards him as he goes to the basket and kicks the ball out to his right side, right? But he can't do that right now because he's like Finding Nemo with that special fin, right? That just doesn't work. And tell me that's not a perfect analogy. Go ahead.
No, that was terrible. He doesn't have a deformity, man. Like he just doesn't have a very good offhand. Like, he's fine physically, I think. Like, I
mean, he's fine physically, sure. By definition, he doesn't have an actual deformity, but he's also not quite all the way there with his right hand. Anywho, that's what, if I'm watching, from around the league, because it's pretty obvious with him, right? It's either the right hand or shooting.
Right? No, and then the other part of that is the tunnel vision aspect of it. Like, you don't want to get a reputation for that because guys don't want to play with guys that have tunnel vision.
That's actually a really good point. So this is what I was going to say about, because you mentioned how he needed to improve on defense. Do you really think other superstars are watching him on defense?
That's a fair point. And so if we're doing the discussion from the realm of what's going to draw other superstars, unless he's getting blocks, they aren't going to pay attention to defense very much.
Right. That's kind of,
at least when they're just watching highlights. Like,
I guess for me, it's defensively, it's rebound the ball and get it down the court,
talking about functional improvements that he needs to make for the team to have more success as well.
Yeah.
And so that also contributes to the free agency factor.
That's also
and important. Just to the team, like, growing, like, even if they don't recruit free agents, they want these guys to get better at stuff.
Right. So this is turning into a longer conversation than we anticipated. So this might actually wind up being a two-part kind of thing, because this is a fun conversation, and the Lakers, we're not even halfway through the young guys that we wanted to talk about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull a lesser known, because we could hypothetically talk about Larry Nance Jr., but I think we should instead.
Or Brandon Ingram, but we're going to save those for tomorrow's podcast. So you should definitely tune in for that one if you're enjoying this.
There you go. So I think we go with Ivica Zubats. Since we already have people here, we'll talk about Anthony Brown with the other two guys tomorrow. So Ivica Zubats, do you think it's possible for him to generate buzz with, given the role that he's probably going to play? Or would you rather look at Tarik Black as the kind of guy who you would hope, posterizes people and creates a little bit more, positive vibes around the Lakers than Zubats might?
Well, I think for Black, you kind of nailed on the head what he's going to have to do. But I think Zubats, my main question is like, how do you improve on being the greatest of all time? I don't know. Like, he came back from the dead in the middle of a basketball game. I don't know how you top that. No, but in all seriousness, I think what I'd like to see from Zubats this year is a lot of time with the defenders, and that's not just because I cover them sometimes and because he's an engaging interview. I think that would do a lot for him, just getting a lot of minutes with a team, because that's not going to happen on the Lakers. Most likely he's not going to get a lot of minutes right off the bat. And so going a place where he will get a lot of minutes, I think, would be good for him. So playing down there, but I think as far the second half of the season, I'd like to see him getting 10 minutes a night. I think that's like a realistic goal.
That seems feasible. I don't think Zubats is going to do anything that, you know, will make Russell Westbrook or his team, you know, take pause, you know, or whatever.
But like I said, on some level, all of these guys improving together makes the team better. And mm-hmm. that is also like it, their record ticks up a win or two.
Well, or the other way, you know, because if we are looking at this from the standpoint of potentially selling the team, not actually selling the team, but selling the team to a free agent, you know, as hey, come over here and this is why you should consider doing that. The Lakers can say, look, even with limited resources, we rarely miss. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so if Zubats shows that he can play pretty well, that's just another
piece. We'll find you help in the second round, or we'll find guys in the second round that we can flip for other more proven talent that's ready to help right now or whatever it may be.
Absolutely. So that's where I think Zubats actually, you know, could have an impact, but even that is a year away.
That's like, it's far-fetched, but like that's the type of thing. Like they already kind of showed it. They showed it with Clarkson. Like Nance was a later first rounder. You know, they have shown some knack for finding these guys.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that'll do it for tonight's discussion. Like I said, this is a really fun one. So let us know what you think. What can D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, Ivica Zubats improve on? Do you think it's possible that the Lakers, you know, those young Lakers can make enough improvement to catch an elite, you know, star's eye in the middle of a season, you know, to where he starts thinking about coming to Los Angeles? Or should the Lakers just go the trade route while they can with the Russell Westbrook and see what they can get that way so they could try to convince him to stay as a re-signing free agent?
One thing I want to throw out there really quickly before we start soliciting people to tell us what we need to or what they think the young players need to improve on. Yes, we didn't talk about Randall's jumper. I am also very dubious that it's going to improve. I'll believe it when I see it. Like, I think it'll improve slightly, but as far as developing a 3-point shot or something like that, like, let's calm down and like, let's wait and see what happens.
Yeah, Randall's shot goes without saying. The points that we made are, because it's, like I said, I don't think...
Things that seem more plausible.
Well, not even just plausible, but, like, who's going to... Russell Westbrook's people aren't going to sit there and say, like, hey, dude, Russ, check it out. Julius Randle's hitting 15
points. Randall's cashing J's.
Yeah, like, you see this guy? You know, that's not what it's going to turn into. This is a different conversation than just straight improvement.
Yeah, right. That's fair.
All right. That'll do it again for tonight's show or today's show. Today, you'll be listening to this on a Thursday. Thanks again, everybody, for the support. You can find us on iTunes, on Audio Boom, on Stitcher, on Silver Screen and Roll, all over the place. We can't say this enough, how much we appreciate the support everybody has given us so far. And we will continue this conversation tomorrow because it's a fun one.
Yep.
Talk to everybody later.
All right. Looking forward to it, Anthony.